Lord Russell, do you think it's reasonable to say that there have been just wars?
Yes, I think it's quite reasonable. Though, of course, you would have to define what you mean by just. You could mean, on the one hand, wars which have a good legal justification. And certainly there have been quite a number of wars where one side had a very good legal justification. Or you could mean wars which are likely to do good rather than harm. And that isn't at all the same classification. Not at all.
Can you give examples of both sorts?
Yes, easily enough. I think any resistance to aggression or invasion is just. The English were entirely just in resisting the Spanish Armada. I think the Hungarians were entirely just in their attempt to get liberty. One case fortunate, the other case unfortunate. But if you're going to take the question of the issue, then you get rather a different classification. You have to think whether good would come of it. Now, take a war that had no justification whatsoever in the legal sense. That is the occupation of the North American continent by white men. I should say that on the whole that was a good thing.
What about the American War of Independence?
Well, that, I think, was entirely justified. It was not, I suppose, legally justified. And in actual fact, if you want to go to America now, you have to make a statement which implies that you condemn George Washington. Because you have to say that you think no legally established government should be resisted by force or violence. But, of course, that isn't retrospective.
Do you think there have been successful wars on a long-term basis?
Oh, yes. Take Alexander and Caesar. They were both great conquerors. They both engaged in wars which hadn't a legal justification. But I think the conquests that they made, both of them, did good. Alexander's conquests established Hellenism throughout the Near East and spread the knowledge of the Greek language and preserved for us the cultural heritage of Greece. I think it's very likely that none of us would know at this day what the Greeks did for civilization if it hadn't been for Alexander.
What about Caesar?
Well, Caesar conquered Gaul and made Gaul a part of the civilized world and incidentally produced the French language, which we all so much admire, which wouldn't have existed but for Caesar.
What would you say the causes of war are? And is it economics or the lunacy of rulers or outbursts of popular enthusiasm or spirit?
Well, there are examples of all of them. Sometimes one and sometimes the other. Now, take Frederick the Great's attack on Maria Theresa was, I think, solely the hubris of a monarch. I don't think it had any other cause at all. But in the 18th century, it was quite apt to happen that monarchs went to war without any justification, just for their own honor and glory. But since the 18th century, that's not been so common.
That would be the lunacy of rulers category.
Yes. Well, then you come to economic causes. Well, of course, they've been very operative. In the long, long contest that England had with Spain, on our side, the causes were mainly economic. On the Spanish side, they were religious. Then, as for mob hysteria, well, that also plays a part. Walpole was Prime Minister for a very long time and was brought down at last by mob hysteria and the determination to go to war with Spain. We'd got the habit of going to war with Spain. We liked it, and he didn't.
You were a pacifist in the First World War. Don't you think it was a bit inconsistent of you not to be a pacifist in the Second World War?
Well, I can't think so at all. I have never taken the view that all wars were just or that all wars were unjust. Never. I thought some were justified and some were not. And I thought the Second World War was justified, but the First, I thought, was not.
Why did you think the Second World War was justified?
Because I thought Hitler was utterly intolerable and the whole Nazi outlook was absolutely dreadful. And I thought that if the Nazis conquered the world, as they obviously intended to do if they could, the world would become a place where life would be absolute hell. And I thought we must stop this, we must.
Do you still think it was a mistake to have fought the First World War?
Yes, I think England should have been neutral. I said so at the time, and I still stick to that. I think if we had remained neutral in the First World War, it would have been rather a short war. It would have ended with Germany a good deal more powerful than it was at the beginning, but not all powerful by any means. And the Germany of the Kaiser, in spite of the propaganda that existed in England at that time, was not so very bad. In fact, there are very few governments at the present day that are as good as the Kaiser's government was. Very few. Because when you go to war against a bad government, you almost always make it worse. I don't think that quite applies to the war against the Nazis, because nothing could be worse. But it does generally apply. And if we had remained neutral at that time, we should not have had the Nazis and we should not have had the communists.
But don't you think that if we hadn't fought the First World War, the Germans, once they'd overrun France, would have looked around at Britain and said, all right, let's polish that off?
I don't think there's any reason to think so. What the Germans wanted were certain quite limited things. They wanted to be allowed to have a good navy. They wanted to be allowed more colonial expansion than we quite liked. And they wanted a certain domination in the Balkans. They wanted, let's say, to help Austria to have a certain domination in the Balkans. But the Kaiser's aims, as far as I can see, were quite finite and limited. I don't think he was out for world dominion.
But on the other hand, the First World War was justified from our point of view, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was legally just. If you take it that we went to war in defense of Belgium, which is, of course, a moot point, but if you take that, then it was certainly legally just. But I don't think that every war which has a legal justification ought to be fought.
Do you think people enjoy wars?
Well, a great many do. It was one of the things that struck me in 1914, when the First War began. All my pacifist friends with whom I was in time to work thought that wars are imposed upon populations by the wicked machinations of governments. And I walked about the streets of London and looked in people's faces, and I saw that they were really all happier than they were before the war had started. And I said so in print. And I caused great heart searchings among my pacifist friends who didn't like my saying this. But I still think that a great many people enjoy a war, provided it's not in their neighborhood and not too bad. I think when the war comes onto your own territory, it's not so pleasant.
As so many people enjoy wars, what are they going to do with their aggressive feelings if they're not allowed to have one?
I think the feelings are not essentially aggressive, they're adventurous. And I think it's very, very important that opportunities for adventure should be open to, as far as possible, all that part of the population that likes adventure. You ought to be able to climb mountains without spending a great deal of money on it. You ought to be able to go to the North Pole and the South Pole if you want to. You ought to have every kind of opportunity for adventure.
Do you think the Swedes are happier for not having had a war for so long?
Oh, yes. They haven't had a war since 1814. And as far as I've seen, Sweden, it's one of the happiest countries I know. I think they enjoy life thoroughly. And I've never noticed any sign that they felt thwarted through not being in a war.
A lot of them commit suicide.
Oh, yes, they do that, but they do that because they're not restrained by religion. They're a very irreligious population. Religious Swedes all went to the Middle West of America, and the population that remained in Sweden was rather irreligious.
But isn't it part of human nature to have wars?
Well, I don't know what human nature is supposed to be, but human nature is infinitely malleable, and that is what people don't realize. Now, if you compare a domestic dog with a wild wolf, You will see what training can do. The domestic dog is a nice, comfortable creature. Barks occasionally and he may bite the postman. But on the whole, he's all right. Whereas the wolf is quite a different thing. Now, you can do exactly the same thing with human beings. Human beings, according to how they're treated, will turn out totally different. And I think the idea that you can't change human nature is just silly.
But surely we've been a long time at the job of trying to persuade people not to have wars, and yet we haven't got very far.
Well, we haven't tried to persuade them. A few, a very few, have tried to, but the great majority have not.
Don't you think that the Swedes might be a bit happier if they had had a war to buck them up a bit?
I don't think there's the least reason to suppose so, no. At present, most people have had a war, and I think they're definitely not as happy as the Swedes are. At least that's my impression from travelling.
Would you say that people weren't quite so happy with the Second World War?
Well, the Second World War took a very different course from the First. The First War, of course, people who had to fight in it were not at all happy because they knew they were very, very likely to be killed. It was the people who stayed at home who so enjoyed it. And in the Second War, well, it was a very, very different thing, and I think people were blasé. They'd had the emotion of war.
But do you think that the kind of situation in which crowds assemble in Trafalgar Square just before a war is declared won't so easily arise in future?
Well, I suppose they will. Trafalgar Square, after all, is very handy, and it's easy to get there. I suppose Trafalgar Square will go on, but not to the same degree, I think, as it would otherwise. Of course, I know it's really absurd. When a war is imminent, immense crowds assemble in Trafalgar Square to applaud to the echo the government's decision to have them killed. It's odd. It's not what you would expect of this thing called human nature, but that is how it works. But I think that will grow less.
Thank you, Lord Russell. I'm looking forward to our next talk.